Hey, hope everyone's having a great weekend. I'm Tony Bruschi from the Hidden Killers podcast. This is our week in review, a look back at some of the most compelling moments in audio that we've experienced this past week. Brand new episodes start back up again Monday morning right here. Enjoy.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast.
The Hidden Killers podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We've been hearing since the beginning of the Lori Vallow Daybell trial, and even since we were covering the case against Brian Koberger, that there is no insanity defense in Idaho. And there technically is not. You cannot plead guilty by reason of insanity in Idaho. However, there seems to be a bit of a loophole to this in which that sort of grounds can be presented to a jury. For more on this is the woman who did the research, who texted me over the weekend saying, aha, I think I found something about this because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, is Alexandra Kazarian. She's one of the best defense attorneys out there, criminal defense attorneys out there with Garagos and Garagos. Alexandra, what did you find?
I did. You know, and I keep hearing this over and over again that, you know, Lori Vallow can't plead insanity and Kronberg can't plead insanity because they don't have the insanity defense in these states. There's four states that don't have it. And it really bugged me because constitutionally, that just didn't make sense to me. Yeah. So I looked into it.
Okay.
And it's true that in those four states, you cannot affirmatively plead insanity.
Okay.
So you have to either plead guilty or not guilty. Mm-hmm. And in California and in all of the other states that do have an insanity defense, an insanity plea, what you do is you say, I plead not guilty by reason of insanity, NGI.
Yep.
So it splits the process into two different processes. One is the guilt phase and one is the sanity phase.
Okay.
So it switches the burden to the defense to prove that there is a mental health issue that interfered with somebody's ability to create the specific intent needed in the crime.
Okay.
So what Idaho and these three other states did is say, no, you don't get to do that. You don't get to telegraph that you're using a mental health defense in the case. We're not going to change the way that we put on evidence. You don't get to do that. But there's a caveat. The very, very last portion of the law that says there is no insanity defense in Idaho says this will not interfere with the defendant bringing in any scientific or medical evidence to prove that they could not form the intent to commit the crime. And that is exactly an insanity defense. So the process stays the same. We don't have an insanity plea where we change the process, but there is no restriction on bringing in evidence to prove that the person could not form the intent to kill.
So they wouldn't directly be saying not guilty by reason of insanity. They would just be saying not guilty, but their whole defense strategy would then be to show by reason of insanity, essentially, without saying it.
Yes, it's just a complete word salad. They're trying to make people think that they're tough on crime and we don't care if somebody claims the insanity defense, but you can't get rid of it. You cannot constitutionally punish somebody for a crime that requires specific intent to do something if they cannot form that intent. So here, Lori Vallow's her defense attorneys are going to argue if you think that she was involved in actively killing her children, when she was doing this, her intent was to kill a zombie. And you can't intend to form you can't form an intent to kill your child if you are actually believing that that is a zombie.
Has this,
so it's that.
It's interesting. Has this been used before? I mean, obviously, there's many, many, many cases that go through the court system. But can you think of any, or is there any record of that being used in Idaho in the way that you have described?
You know, I didn't get that deep into it.
Yeah.
And I am very curious about that because the law changed back in, I think, the 80s. And since then, there have been constitutional challenges to it, because that's what I was looking at. There has to have been some defendant somewhere down the line that wasn't allowed to use the insanity defense, was found guilty, and then appealed. And it's true. And the Supreme Court said, no, there's that caveat in there that says you can bring in that evidence. So the process changing didn't make the evidence unconstitutional. It didn't suppress any evidence that should have been included.
Would the jury then have to, even if they were to flat out say, yeah, and this is just allegations, but let's in theory say that Lori, you know, helped kill the kids, like literally took the pickaxe, hit him in the head, whatever. I'm not trying to be graphic, but let's say she actually did it.
Right.
But under the law there in Idaho, if they're arguing what you were saying, that she believed she was killing a zombie, though, she didn't believe she was killing her children. She thought she was killing a zombie. Would they have to then find her not guilty by reason of insanity, but it just wouldn't be termed that? Or would they have to find her guilty because she did it, even though she was not mentally thinking that they were her children?
So from what I understand in Idaho, they have a guilty but insane plea. So the jury has three choices, guilty, not guilty, or guilty but insane. And it's the same process everywhere, that if you're guilty but insane, instead of going to a prison, you go to a mental health facility, you regain competency. Here in California, if you're found not guilty by reason of insanity, you says that you have regained competence, that you are no longer under the infliction of the mental health issue that caused you to commit that crime, and that you're now safe to be released to society. Mm-hmm. There is a path to release. In Idaho, there's not. Once you regain competency, you go to the prison to fill out the term of your sentence.
Interesting.
Now, the jury is also going to have to find not just that she thought she was killing killing a zombie, but that as a result of this mental health issue, she could not form the intent to kill her children. So it is way more complicated. I think there's a lot more for the prosecution to argue there. Mm-hmm. That, you know, if I was a prosecutor, I would say, well, if she could form the intent to kill a zombie, then she could form the intent to kill a child.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's not evidence that she couldn't inform the intent. So it would have to be really, really heavy on the doctor to say, no, there was no actual intent being formed. But we'll see.
Yeah, none of this has really been argued in court at all with her yet, as far as being insane. Obviously, the arguments certainly sound insane. At what point would this sort of defense be introduced? Would this be like strategy from day one? Or is this something you would see a defense attorney, you know, basically, this is like a Hail Mary, nothing else seems to be sticking very well, so let's go down this road at last minute? How would that work?
So the only way that the evidence of the doctor could come in is if the defense brings it in. So it wouldn't come in until the prosecution has given all their evidence, rested, and then if the defense has their case, then they start calling their experts and they start calling their witnesses. So one of the reasons that California has the not guilty by reason of insanity plea is so that it telegraphs to the prosecution, hey, this is the defense we're going to be using. And so the prosecution can prepare for it. So it may actually be better for a defendant if there is no not guilty by reason of insanity plea, because they can make that decision at the last minute and the prosecution may be thrown for a complete loop.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Alexander Kazarian, criminal defense attorney with Garagos & Garagos. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us your findings. Always interesting to understand how the law works and what we may be in store for in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell as it continues. Keep it here for the latest breaking updates, discussions, and courtroom audio as we have it. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.